Now, I want to go back a verse, because the last few classes, I don't think I covered it fully. I'll cover it as a section, so I'll read it now. Reading from Narada Bhakti Sutra, text 61. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lokahani Chinta Nakaya. Nivedita Lokavedita. After consigning to the Lord all one's mundane and Vedic duties, one no longer needs worry about worldly loss. The sutra holds various meanings. First, the devotee should not worry about his worldly situation. Having surrendered to Lord Krishna, he's on the most auspicious path, going back home, back to Godhead. Even if he suffers financial loss or ill health, he realizes that Lord Krishna is giving him token punishment for his past sinful activities. And so he converts the losses into spiritual assets by remaining steadfast in devotional service despite the disturbances. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. Om Ajana Timarangasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Naksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Ayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivata Vigor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from New York City, Manhattan. I'm giving the class this evening from the house of regular Sangha member, Amir Imai. A little audience here today. Usually, I'm giving to the invisible audience. So we're studying Narada Bhakti Sutra, and we had discussed that bhakti comes in different grades. It can be mixed in different modes. And when it's mixed with the mode of ignorance, you can become very sectarian or hateful in your worship of God. When it's mixed with the mode of passion, you become very ambitious. Therefore, one of the principles of bhakti is to not read too many or print too many books, not build too many big temples, and not take too many disciples. And basically, it means don't do things in passion. In the commentary by Jiva Goswami, and I know this commentary very well, and I can tell the story here. When Janava, we met Janava, and she asked me for initiation. She was the first one, and I wasn't sure whether I would do it or not. Take up this responsibility. So I had a friend, and he was very elevated, elderly sadhu. So I said, what's the harm? I'll put it before him. And whatever he decides, I'll do. You know, that way it takes it out of any personal ambition that could be in my mind, or, you know, that's really putting it in the hands of God. So I remember I asked, and I said, you know, so I asked him, and he looked and he thought, oh, it's like your Sikra gurus. I asked him, I said, you know, I'm in a quandary. I said, and I quoted the purport. I said, there's two things. At one point, I think I'm a little young and I feel maybe I'll get contaminated by a little puja and pratishtha, desire for worship and distinction. I'm feeling that a little bit. Maybe that's still in me. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But on the other hand, I said, Jiva Goswami said, it's the duty of a sannyasi to accept disciples to increase the sampradaya. If that comes from that commentary, he should do it. So he looked at me, he said, he said, and then he said, nice. He said, not me, I order you to do it, but not be qualified through me. He said, but don't think you do. He said, do it as a service to your guru. And he said a few other things. But the point is that commentary, you see, so you have to be careful that devotion means for Krishna. You can do devotion to yourself. You can lead a kirtan to impress people. Because the material world moves something like this. We try to control. Because if we can control, we can enjoy. And what's enjoyment, material enjoyment? Moving things to fulfill your desires, which requires the world moves according to your desires. Therefore, we want control. Therefore, we want control of the world. So you can even do kirtan, get clashed to get respect. What happens when you have respect? People become subordinate. You can control them. You can control them. You can enjoy them. They can help you accrue the assets to move the world and enjoy. So devotion can be done in all sorts of manners. But real devotion is in the mode of goodness, at least. It's really transcendental. Because real devotion, you don't do it out of hate, you don't do it out of passion, you do it only for Krishna. See, you can be mixed with passion and goodness. You do devotion because you want peacefulness. That's still contamination. It's still mixed with passion, by the way, because it's an attachment. Narada Muni, when he got Sakshat Darshan of Krishna, Narayan, he got Darshan and then Krishna disappeared. So he wanted Darshan again. So he tried the same thing. But it didn't work. Why didn't it work? The same effort was there. This is not just effort. It's effort that's an expression of surrender and consciousness. Because he achieved it the first time. The second time, he did it with ego and control. By this, I will get it. The first time, he was doing the effort. I don't know if I'll get it, Krishna. I want you. Please, mercy, mercy, mercy. He achieved it. Then the second time, it was in the other consciousness. But he tried and tried and tried. And then he heard the voice and says, you are not qualified to see me now. He gave two reasons. There's some material taint. What was the taint? He was in the Himalayas. He was attached. It's peaceful. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Material taint. That means when it's for you. Separate from Krishna. Because it can be for you connected to Krishna. I need this to become peaceful to think of Krishna. I need this desire to be quelled. So I can think of Krishna, and it's prescribed, it's allowed. But real transcendental bhakti is for Krishna. And everything you do is for Krishna. Even taking the needs you need, you have to have. Now that's called surrender. Because you're submitting to the desire of another for Krishna. So that's the higher grade of bhakti. And now in this section, Narada is going to encourage us to seek the higher grade of bhakti for Krishna. And therefore there's surrender to Krishna, you have to be that for Krishna. So this verse says that, see, what's going to be discussed here is the topic of achieving that, but we are in the world, top grade bhakti does not mean to leave the world. Greatest misconception about spiritual life is that it's renunciation. Even Arjuna, when he got in anxiety, he said, let me take the spiritual life. He wanted to renounce the world. Krishna never said that. There's three consciousnesses, that's a word, that one can apply. You can either indulge something, you can renounce something, or you can dedicate something. Bhakti is not about renunciation. Bhakti is about dedication. Bhakti, I'm a monk, but being a renunciate is not the qualification for bhakti. The qualification for bhakti is devotion. There are mayavadi sannyasis who are very renounced, celibate, learned, but they're not devotees. We tend to have the wrong conception. So here, well, first here it's going to say first you have to surrender to Krishna, and we don't have to worry about worldly loss if we do so. Again, it's not about renunciation, it's surrender to Krishna, but sometimes surrender to Krishna entails a sacrifice of something material. By the service of Krishna. We're not meditating, no, no, no. That's not bhakti. In Ramananda's Siksha, Achincha, this is one of the greatest dialogues where Lord Chaitanya meets his Siksha Guru. It's called Ramananda's Sambhad. It's a discussion between. And he asked him, what is the topmost shloka in all the scriptures? And he begins to offer wonderful verses. But Lord Chaitanya says, Eho Maya. It's external. Akai want, give me something more. And it goes progressively. It gives a whole comparative religion. It's external. External what? To the self. Even that he gave the verse, Sarva Dhammam Tritya Ja, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja, Hum Tvam Sarva Papevyo. Folks, here. By the way, audience, I had a fabulous meal by Anamaya now, and I'm completely intoxicated. And when I'm intoxicated, either, I don't know, but I'm fired up. Sarva Dharman Pritya Ja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vija Aham Tvam Sar. Sannyas, give up everything. Say, hey, why? Because that's external. For what? The soul. The soul's not about renunciation. The soul's about dedication. So sannyas is an activity of the world. He only says TK, that's okay, when Yani Pyasam, you give up Gan pronunciation. You dedicate yourself by sitting at the feet of an exalted soul. and here he has Chateau Cash. That goes higher and higher and higher. So here, this is gay, is it? If you surrender to Krishna and you do what Krishna wants, there's never loss. There's never loss. First of all, Krishna, one of the symptoms of taking shelter of Krishna is the experience and faith that Krishna will protect you. And that means whatever happens to the devotee, he accepts that is best. Because what his value system is not his material position, but the state of his or her consciousness. And he realizes that whatever happens to him is an elevation of his or her consciousness, if he responds. So as long as he does what's right, he's protected by Krishna. And even if the result is a reversal, and there's difficulty, even that difficulty, it says, he'll accept. That difficulty is also the mercy of Krishna. The verse is quoted, Tate Nukampam Sushanikshamano. That when there's difficulty, a devotee does what? He bows his head again and again. Says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because he expects the Lord's mercy. He feels the Lord's mercy. See, we do these astrological charts. The Prabhupada said we have a material and spiritual destiny. You take the devotional service, you have a spiritual destiny because you have a different standard of success. And therefore, when there's difficulty, you look at it a different way. Look, now it's bringing me closer to Krishna. And that's one's goal. Because only one can be ultimately happy on that internal platform. In the beginning of his commitment, a devotee may fear that he is somehow jeopardizing his future by fully surrendering to Krishna. Arjuna worried that if he took up the meditative yoga process Krishna outlined in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he might become an unsuccessful transcendentalist. Who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness. 637. If that would happen, Arjuna reasoned, he would have no position in any sphere and could thus neither enjoy material nor spiritual profit. But Lord Krishna assured his disciple, a transcendentalist engaged in auspicious activities does not meet destruction either in this world or the next. Why? Because in a material activity, you have to complete it to perfection to get the result. Bhakti is love. It's already successful. Even if you don't get the fruit, it's already successful. And not only that, Bhagavad Gita says, Mehabhikamanasho sti pratyavayo nividyate sopam apyasya dharmasya. There's no loss of diminution. Because devotional activities are connected with the soul. So whatever is done in a spiritual sense is kind of permanently awakening the soul. It's there with you. And therefore it's described in the Bhagavatam that even if someone goes to Krishna consciousness and falls away and is like an ordinary materialist, you never judge that person as the same as an ordinary materialist because he has rasa grahi. That taste is embedded in the soul. It never leaves one. Sometimes by offenses, we can become separated from it, but it never leaves one. So there's no loss if you surrender to Krishna. And in that surrender, there's some sacrifice or loss or disadvantage, etc. That's what it's saying here. You should go for the higher bhakti. The higher bhakti. It's not about our material profit. It's about our sacrifice and surrender to the divine. And in doing that, you are protected. I mean, I know I had that faith myself, somehow or other. I mean, it was very difficult for me when I first came to Krishna consciousness with my parents opposing. It was very, very difficult for me. But I had that faith, that surrender to Krishna. It's like watering the root of the tree, the leaves, and somehow or other, it worked out. You know, it worked out. It was a little difficult. What worked out is that my parents, they came to Vrindavan. I couldn't believe it. You know, they kidnapped me once. Then when I went back to them, you know, when I finally went to visit them again, they were actually planning it again. I think my older brother told them no. Because what happened is they kidnapped me, and I wouldn't speak to them for a year. Then I came to New York, and I was going to go to Vrindavan. And at that time, there was no Skype, fax, phone. I remember when the fax first came out, it was a miracle. There was no, you couldn't call. Once you're in Vrindavan, you couldn't make a call. Calling Vrindavan was like a 1 in a million shot in getting to America. Because Vrindavan had to call Mathura, and Mathura had to call Delhi, and Delhi had to call, as far as I can see, it was Tropicana juice, orange juice cans, connected with wire practically. So once you went there, it was lost from the world. There were no phones. And the phones, you had to place a call. It was so inefficient. You can't even imagine. Then I went. My parents didn't see me for 3 years. Practically couldn't speak to me. And then I came back. So on my way out, they were thinking, so no, 1 year I wouldn't talk to them. Then I went to New York, and then somehow I met them. When I went to their house, they were thinking again because I was going on the way to India. Then when I came back after 3 years, then they said, we think we'd like to visit you. And in India at that time, there were no Western toilets. There was no heat. And it was the winter. There was no, you know, bottled drinking water. It was pretty. And my parents went there, and they had a transformation experience. I remember I went to the guest house, audience here, I have a audience on the phone, I have an audience before me, so I'm inspired to speak on certain things maybe. But what happened is my mother came to Vrindavan, right? And it was like, what an adventure. What an adventure. I remember after the second day I came to the guest house, my mother came down and she looked at me and she said, I'm ashamed to admit it, something terrible happened. I said, Mom, tell me. She said, something terrible happened. I said, Mom, tell me what happened. I can't, I'm too ashamed. Tell me what happened, Mom. I can't tell you. I said, Mom, tell me. She said, I woke up in the middle of the night, I was chanting Hare Krishna. She said, I could have killed myself. But the fact is, years later, my mother called me on the phone. I called her on the phone, right? And I said, she said, where are you? I said, I'm in Vrindavan. And she said, how is my Vrindavan? So, you know, it confirmed the faith. Bhagavad Gita confirms the faith. Surrender. Sarva Dharma Pratyajam. Give up everything else. Surrender. Sarva Dharma Pratyajam. Mame comes. Hum Twam. Sarva Papa. Moksyami Mahasucha. Don't worry. Mahasucha. Don't worry. I will protect you from any sin, from any other neglect. That's it. You know, you have to give up sometimes. I'll protect you. I couldn't join because for 4 years, I had the spirit, but the family was just too. I couldn't do it. And then I was visiting a temple. And in those days, the line was drawn. Maybe it made it easier. You know, if you were a devotee, you're in the ashram. You know, you're not. That's it. That was what it was. The line was drawn. Very tough. I couldn't go through the line. There was no congregational members. There was no congregation. Either in or you're out. So somehow I visited a temple. They let me paint a room. And then they asked me, Prabhupada's coming. He's upstairs. He's giving sweets to all the devotees. All the devotees can come up. I said, can I come up? Because I didn't think I was a devotee. I had a mustache. I didn't have a shaved head. They said, you can also come. They didn't say I was a devotee. They said, you can also come. And I was waiting on that line. Like 150 devotees waiting on the line to get those two rascals from Prabhupada. And I was praying and praying. Sarva Dharma Pratyajam. I was studying the books. Surrender. Masha, don't worry. Don't worry. Surrender. Don't worry. Surrender. 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 Masha, Masha. I can't. Masha, please, don't worry. Don't worry. When I got the rasgulas from Prabhupada's hand, and I bit into that rasgula, all doubts were gone. It was amazing. But anyway, so there's so many nice verses here. Chakvasvadharam charanam bhujam hare bhajana pakvo tapatetito yudhi. One who has forsaken his material occupation to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. If there is no danger in his being successful, unsuccessful, even if there's failure in devotional service, you can't be unsuccessful because whatever you did is indelible. On the other hand, if you're fully engaged in your occupational service, but it's not connected to God, you gain nothing, even in perfection. And you become free from all other obligations. It's not that, but I want to get to the next verse because it says don't give up those obligations. So no one here should be running away yet. This verse says is a priority. That's all it's saying. And if there's a choice, you have to choose Krishna. And you don't. When you take shelter and you give up other obligations, then you're free of those obligations. Only in conflict. And that's what the next verse is going to say. Even after one has achieved devotional service, one should not abandon one's responsibilities in this world, but rather should continue surrendering the results of one's work to the Lord. And while still trying to reach a stage of pure devotion, one must certainly continue executing his prescribed duties. See, because the previous verse said, sometimes there may be conflict. But one doesn't give up his duties. One, prescribed duties mean they're prescribed for your condition to purify you of those desires. That's what prescribed. Prescription is like a medicine. In other words, you know, family life, if that's your prescription and that's your nature, there may be difficulties in it, but you need to go through that to be purified of certain things. So it's not you go to devotional service and you leave your family. Because it says in Bhagavad Gita, if you do that and you don't purify your desires, then nitya chara suuchite, you're considered a pretender. So it says if Arjuna, who is that warrior, and wants to take the spiritual life, this verse is saying, you surrender to Krishna, but what does surrender to Krishna mean? It means do your duties for Krishna. That's what surrender to Krishna means. And if you give up your duties prematurely before you're purified, then you'll go to the forest and meditate. And you'll think, boy, do I look cool. Wow, I'm so advanced. I bet you some beautiful ladies will come and think I'm a very advanced guru. I think the people will come and worship me. Or if Arjuna went to the forest, he'd be meditating. That no good to go, I will work. Nityachara Suche said, don't be a pretender. Prescribed duties means that you have a desire. If you indulge the desire, your consciousness will be away from God. If you renounce the desire artificially, you'll also consciousness will be away from God. So the Vedic system says, this is who you are. To purify yourself, you regulate the desire. And regulation of the desire does two things. It allows you to enjoy your desire to the degree that you won't think about it all the time. And it allows you to renounce the desire to the extent that you'll become purified of it. Is that clear? Like someone has very strong sensual desires. If he tries to become a renunciate, his mind will always be agitated, will always be thinking of those things. If he tries to indulge himself in all, his senses will be just out of control, will always be thinking. But if he becomes a married person and there's regulation in those activities, the desires are satisfied in a way that one is not excessively thinking of them, but they're being controlled in a way that you can gradually become purified of them. So, Lord Krishna has strongly criticized the pseudo-renunciates who live at the cost of society. One who restrains the senses of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. Prabhupada said it's better to work in Kama Yoga Krishna consciousness within one's designation. So what I'm going to do now for the rest of the class, and may have to end a little bit early today because I still have to do many things, but so says, surrender does not mean giving up the world. It means to dedicate ourselves. Now, even in the world, the devotee must be careful. Now, he's in the world, but it doesn't mean that he's indulging in anything. It doesn't mean that he's not protected. So the next verse says, one should not find entertainment in news of the opposite sex, money, and the faithless. So now you're in the world, right? So you have to be very careful what you hear. Because the world mostly comes into our consciousness by what we hear, more than even what we see. It's so beautiful. He says, surrender. You have to surrender to God. Don't worry. If you surrender, you won't lose anything. But that doesn't mean to give up the world. It means to give up that which is anatta. Artha means value, that which has no value. Which doesn't mean to give up your desires if they have value. I always give the, and Amir, you must remember this. I met this lady in Vrindavan. Very aristocratic, wealthy, lives on the Upper West Side. And somehow or other, she became completely into Krishna consciousness. And I always remember this scene when myself and Bibi Govinda Swami went to her apartment. I used to host people there all the time. And she was so dedicated. And she donated so much money to build temples and ashrams and things in Vrindavan. And at one time, she signed over her whole estate to me and Bibi Govinda Swami for charities in Vrindavan. You know, her whole thing. I remember when I went with her to the bank and she signed over her safety deposit box. She was so surrendered, but she always dressed very finely. Because she needed that. She was an aristocratic woman. That was, you don't live to enjoy, you enjoy to live. She needed that to live. Jivasya-tattva-ji for the higher purpose. So it's a very fine science. That's not anartha. That's need. So it says, remember, you surrender. What's anartha? What's not needed? And the ultimate principle is what God wants. That's the highest dharma. And sarva dharma, you can give up other dharma for that. But it doesn't mean that your life is to give up other dharma. It means for that you can give up other dharma, but you generally don't have to give up other dharma for God. It's actually supported. So you stay, and you purify yourself. Not you give up your family, you give up your things. But when you're in the world and you don't abundant mundane affairs, it doesn't mean you open your ears to everything. So here it says, do not hear. Nishravaniyam, charitam, do not hear the stories of Sri, the opposite sex, dana, wealth, and nashtika. Those who are faithless, they are klesha, they're trouble. They distract us from the world. They bring us into the bodily conception. According to the Yoga Sutras, we know the definition of ignorance. Ignorance means when the pure, eternal, blissful self thinks it is the impure, temporary suffering body. So we don't get distracted. So the bhakti, Narada says, you discharge duties in the world as long as you're God-centered, offer the result of your work in devotional service. But when you're living in the world, you must avoid the sinful life and the people indulge in it, and we should not hear about this. Rupa Goswami said that's one of the prajalpa. Is one of the six things that destroy devotional service, is idle talk. Now, the next verse says, even if we avoid hearing about the opposite sex, and we avoid hearing about money and all the subtleties of this, and the, you know, it's on the internet so much, Pajalpa. Even if we, nice picture. I want to see that one. I can see that. A beautiful picture. Okay, I love it. It just shows you. You know what it shows you? What connection there is between happiness and beauty. Amazing. That's why Radharani is the most beautiful. To see the personification of the most bliss. So even if you're free from these things, 64, abhimana dambadi kam dago. You have to give up. You should put aside false pride, hypocrisy, and other vices. Because there's people that are very renounced. But they're proud. I remember one saint chastised my friend, don't think you're better than everyone or anyone. That's one of the six symptoms of initiative bhakti. It's in Madhurya Kadambani, there's symptoms of when bhakti becomes unsteady. And the last symptom is the anartha that comes from bhakti itself, because you can get devotion. And when you get devotion, then people will start respecting you. And then if you accept that as your, for yourself and become pride, then it's no longer bhakti, because what is pride? Pride is that desire to be in the center, to control. And when you're controlling things, you think of this very carefully. Sex life and material enjoyment. The sensual experience is not enough for the materialist. It has to be mixed with the sense that this makes me better than everyone else. It's not just the sensual experience. It's the ego, as I'm not speaking, the ego. It's the ego. And that's what a devotee is. He's free from that. The Bhagavatam, a devotee, is described as Nyamatsara Nam Sitam. Sitam, a devotee, is what? Nyamatsara. No hate. What does no hate mean? No material objective. They're not moving in the world to be better than others. And just think how difficult that is. Think of the core of the consciousness, how much we're maneuvering ourselves. It's either one or two things. Either we're maneuvering ourselves to be better than others so we can control things more for ourselves, or we're controlling things more for ourselves so we think we're better than others. That's material consciousness. And that's why what bhakti is, what a real bhakti is humble. They're not, we discussed that yesterday, and I know, I may go with me sat in my class completely, but that point is made strongly. What a bhakti is one who doesn't have that consciousness to get prestige, to get worship, to get respect. Doesn't have that consciousness. One of my godbrothers named Jayananda disappeared from the world. He was the humblest soul. And Prabhupada said he should be on the Vaishnava calendar. And immediately when I first met him, when I first came at this, to the devotees in 1970, and it was a parking lot where I was sleeping in a car. I happened to be behind the temple by coincidence, Frederick Street. And I just saw this devotee, just simple devotee, fixing a car. I was so impressed with him. And then I met him, and I was so impressed. Now, this devotee impressed me so much because he was so humble. He was so humble. When Prabhupada would come, he would always ask, where is Jayananda? He wasn't pushing up front. He was always doing service. That consciousness of love. Consciousness of love puts something else in the center. When you want to be in the center, you're not interested in love. So even if you're controlled in the senses, that can be another accoutrement of power. Because it's one opulence that people have. And people can be renounced for that reason. So this is bhakti. This is Narada Bhakti Sutras. So there's things that are externally disruptive, but getting rid of them alone is not enough. You have to get rid of the things that are internally disruptive. We have to become servants. We have to become servants of Krishna. And we have to move our body in that position, and we have to have our mind follow it. And we have to be introspective. See, that's why it's so important to serve, because then the mind will go there. You know, I used to organize all the prasad in Vrindavan, the feasts. I was in charge of the kitchen. I never cooked. I never knew how to cook. I knew how to organize it. And I was famous for menus. You know Korma, the cookbook guy? He was trying to figure out what to serve at this function in the evening. I suggested, he said, that's a great idea. Hot puris, cauliflower, potato cream sabji, and hot challah with some glove jubbets. I'm not sure what the glove jubbets were. So I used to organize it. And then Raghunath used to help me with the service. I used to like that. And it was very complex. It was the most complex. I didn't have a facade room. He had to serve in many different places. Very difficult. And I was a perfectionist. It had to be served in a certain way. But you always watch the consciousness. Who runs in first to get their seat? I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. And who's the person who grabs the bucket to serve the prasad? Different conceptions. One is looking at themselves, desires prominent. One is looking at others, desires prominent. These things glue the soul with the body. Ego should not be the leader of mental activity. The soul should be the leader of mental activity. Love should be the leader of mental activity. And finally, what happens, and then we're going to finish with today. Don't become disheartened, even if there's desire, even if there's anger, even if there's pride, and even if you can't get rid of these things, dedicate them to Krishna. What? Yeah. Anger? I remember this one person that came to the temple and started to curse the devotees. Completely outrageous person. Blasphemy the devotees. Blasphemy Krishna. And I was angry for Krishna. And sorry for Krishna. So that was the last verse. Anybody like to say hello? Jonathan Sindhari said hello. Anyone else like to say hello? The Chinturati said hello.
Hare Krishna, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Govardhan Bhaktadas, thank you. Thank you for always listening to the classes. And I'm very proud that now you're also giving the classes. That's the system. The system is one who hears properly can speak properly. So that's very nice. I feel whatever I'm saying, it becomes magnified as you prepare and you speak it on Saturday. Thank you. Anybody want to say hello? Okay, it's getting late and I still have ways to go. Thank you all for coming. Bunch of calls with me. Just check up the facility.